Welcome to Valley Voices. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host. My guest today is local longtime therapist Megan Hurley Backhoffen. For the past 17 years, she has specialized in mental health treatment for child sexual abuse survivors and their families. Megan is the core sexual abuse treatment provider for the Garfield County Department of Human Services and works out of the River Bridge Regional Center in Glenwood Springs. River Bridge serves Garfield, Eagle, Pitkin, and Rio Blanco counties and assists with investigations of child abuse and child sex trafficking cases. She's an effective providers facilitator for the American Psychological Association and is also a trainer with the Office for Victims of Crime. Megan is an adjunct professor with the University of Denver teaching trauma assessment and interventions for Masters of Social Work students. She has a book out and a podcast about child sexual abuse prevention. Her dog, Fraser, also works at River Bridge. The conversation begins with a brief description of where she works and what inspired her to do this kind of work.
So I actually work with Garfield County Department of Human Services. I have been with the county in their child welfare department since 2004. And so I have been really working as a mental health clinician, specifically dealing with child trauma cases and within the child welfare system. So obviously, there are just all kinds of kids at risk in our community, but in particular, children that are victims of child maltreatment are at a much greater risk for being trafficked. And so I've kind of had relationships with a lot of these at-risk kids for many years. And then when the River Bridge opened in 2007, the county put me in that building to be on site for all of these investigations that predominantly involve child sexual abuse.
You've written three books, if I'm understanding correctly. Top 10 Tips for Sexual Abuse Prevention, Top 10 Things Parents Should Know, and Who's the Boss of This Body?
No, sorry.
Okay. All right.
So Who's the Boss of This Body is the book, and that is available on Amazon. And so the class, the Top 10 Things for Parents to Prevent Child Sexual Abuse, is a class that I've done since about 2011, all over Colorado, essentially. And then out of the book, once that was available on Amazon, I just wanted to make sure that any parent purchasing the book could have the same information from the class. And so that's the Top 10 Things for Prevention of Child Sexual Abuse, and that's actually a podcast that is now available.
You know, I'd like to back up just a little bit and talk about what led to the 10 tips for sexual abuse prevention and the 10 things that parents should know. There was a particular thing that occurred in 2011 that sort of led to this. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. Really, I mean, I had been doing my physician at the River Bridge and had always kind of been interested in prevention efforts, but never really put anything together. But in 2011, there was a sexually violent predator that moved into the area in Rifle. And so it's pretty rare that we have people with that label. We have kind of different tiers of sex offenders. And when they reach that high level of being a sexually violent predator, they are required to do a community meeting. And so that had happened in Rifle. And there was a huge response from the community at that point. A lot of people, I think almost 100 people attended that meeting. And then afterward, there was this widespread panic. Parents were just really, really concerned. So there were a lot of calls coming to the River Bridge asking what people could do. It really shined this light on the problem of a lot of people assuming still that stranger danger is the biggest risk and that this man would just be on the prowl and grabbing kids. And really, that's probably not how he would respond. The reason he had that label was he came from Oregon, and every sex offender in Oregon gets that label. But he had lived with a six-year-old child and sexually abused that child when he was living with her. And so that's really how he got his charges. And that's really how it works most of the time, is that In the rare cases when we do have children come to the River Bridge where they are offended on by somebody that is a registered sex offender, that person still had a relationship with that child somehow. Whether the family did not believe the allegations, or they were just not aware of them, but for the most part, children have a relationship with their offender. And so that was one thing that I thought we really needed to educate the community on. And so that was one of the tips. And then I came up with 9 others and started teaching the class at that point.
So you're talking about grooming.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit more about what that looks like? I mean, how does one tell the difference between being groomed by a sexual predator and a nice, helpful person?
Right, exactly. It's very complicated because really what a sex offender wants is to be perceived as a really nice guy. And so that's what's unfortunate about it is that, you know, there are a lot of really legitimately nice people out there. And so how do you know the difference? I would say one of the main things is that this individual would look for opportunities to be alone with your child. Most sex offenses occur in a one-on-one situation. And so a big part of grooming is looking for ways to isolate a child and have that one-on-one contact with them. I just think it's really important for parents just to develop relationships with the people their children are hanging out with. And then in addition to that, a lot of what the class is what parents can talk to their kids about in order to have children be a lot more aware of some of the risks out there and know what to do when it happens. I think a lot of parents really avoid talking to their children about sexual abuse for a variety of reasons. And as a result, children are really at risk. I mean, that's ultimately what sex offenders want, is to find kids that are afraid to talk about it and really have no knowledge of it. So that grooming process is really seeking out kids that are going to be able to keep a secret. And it's not only grooming the child, but really grooming the parents, trying to be perceived as a person that is safe and would never do anything like this. And very often offenders can groom entire communities. I mean, when you listen to stories that are big media stories like Larry Nassar or Sandusky at Penn State, you know, that's a big part of it is they groom the entire community that they're in and, you know, just work really hard to be perceived as this really great person. You know, a lot of it is just kids really need to be informed and they need to be aware even from a very young age. They need to know that it's okay to talk about this.
Well, you say that secrets are never safe. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
I think that that's a big part about prevention is talking to your children about secrecy because, I mean, kids generally, they love secrets and they're drawn to them and they want to keep secrets. But in reality, secrets are really where the trauma lies. It's in the things that children can't speak of that is what is most harmful to them. When I'm working with a child, I hear these stories every day and, you know, I'll get a kid that was 8 years old when she was sexually abused and here she is 15 talking about it for the first time. And that abuse incident at age 8 is certainly something that was traumatizing, but keeping that secret for 7 years was also very traumatizing. And so that secrecy is often where the trauma lies. Now, I mean, like I said, kids love secrets. I think really what they love is surprises. You know, one of the things I talk about in my class is parents need to be able to distinguish between secrets and surprises and understand that surprises are really fun and, you know, great to look forward to because there's an end date. But secrets are something that you're never, ever supposed to tell. And they usually actually make you feel pretty bad.
Boy, this is really complicated, very complex issue. I mean, from both sides of it, from the trauma aspect and the grooming and the prep to the treatment of it. It sounds incredibly mm-hmm. complex.
Yeah, and especially considering there's so many different levels. I mean, a totally different scenario when you're talking about a 6-year-old that was sexually abused by her grandfather versus a 15-year-old that has been in a relationship with an older person that is now trafficking her. So, I mean, it's a huge variety and, you know, they're all traumatic but require very different treatment responses. They all have very different needs.
Well, the mention of the word trafficking always makes me take a breath in really fast. You know, you mentioned that and I was off mic, but I was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, I'm wondering, how are you going to adjust your presentation about the 10 tips to teens for an audience that is focused on human trafficking?
Yeah. Well, a lot of the issues overlap, because in order to really understand trafficking and be able to be a support for victims, you have to understand how frequently the children that are trafficked have already been sexually abused in another way. They're especially vulnerable, and people that are in that position of being a pimp or somebody that's trafficking a child is really looking for a child that has already been sexually abused probably and has been used in that way and has had people not respond appropriately, and they have a lot of shame, and that's just, you know, what plays into the vulnerability. So it all kind of connects that in order to understand trafficking, you have to understand child sexual abuse, since there's so much overlap. One of the things that I talk about in my presentation of 10 tips specifically that's geared towards teenagers is how much pornography children these days are exposed to. And that is also a big part of trafficking. And so, you know, we need to be able to talk to kids and let them know about this industry out there and help them understand it better, because they really have to be able to navigate and understand what they're getting into. Unfortunately, it's something that a lot of teens have really easy access to, and nobody's talking to them about it.
How is porn a part of trafficking?
Well, very often that's something that pimps will use in order to further manipulate and kind of trap a child by recording and you know, having videos of the instances of sexual contact with this child, right? And then they can use those videos, you know, to hold over
blackmail
and further shame them. Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. And they can profit off of it. Anybody that is going to traffic a child is just looking for any way to profit off the child. So whether they are, you know, selling the child to people at a truck stop, or whether they're selling the images of child pornography online, it's all part of the industry.
You're listening to Valley Voices. My guest today is mental health worker Megan Hurley Backoffen, who is the core sexual abuse treatment provider for the Garfield County Department of Human Services. She works out of Riverbridge Regional Center in Glenwood Springs. Megan will be presenting on this topic at Friday's Human Trafficking Summit in Rifle. Megan Hurley Backoffen, what age here locally is the most vulnerable to human trafficking?
Well, I can't give specifics. Unfortunately, we are not currently collecting data on the problem of child trafficking in this area. It is definitely a goal for 2020, but it's something that we are working with all of our law enforcement partners to be much better about assessing and recognizing, because a lot of times these cases don't even get labeled as trafficking when they should be. And so the statistics are really not something that we have available. But I think that, you know, it's surprising how young children can be trafficked, but certainly 13, 14, 15-year-old girls are extremely vulnerable. And when they are in a position of, you know, just having a lot of child maltreatment at home, you know, they're seeking a way out, and very often kind of the gateway to trafficking is being a runaway. And so if you really want to stop trafficking, you have to really put a lot of efforts into the runaway and homeless youth problem, because homelessness, it's really astounding. Once a child is homeless, there's some statistics that say, you know, like 80% of the time within the first 48 hours, they are propositioned to be trafficked. So, you know, I think that we have to be talking about it a lot more and be better equipped to recognizing it. But especially given our location here in Glenwood Springs on the I-70 corridor, I certainly don't think our community is immune. You know, those kind of, you know, highways and hotels off of highways and truck stops, and there's a lot of places that really we need to hone in our efforts.
Well, what are the 10 tips for teens?
So the 10 tips for teens are very similar to the 10 tips for younger children. But, you know, it's really how to talk to your children and being able to help them recognize and identify what is sexual abuse, really what is consent in relationships, is the conversation you'd have with your teen versus the conversation you'd have with your five-year-old. You still need to have the conversation, but it's going to look very different when you're talking to a five-year-old and trying to explain what sexual abuse is.
Right.
And that sometimes, you know, older people or even other kids might want to look at or touch your private parts or make you look at or touch their private parts. And honey, if anybody ever did that to you, they're breaking a rule and I want you to tell me about it. That's how you talk to your five-year-old. When you're talking to your 15-year-old, you know, it's definitely more of a conversation around consent and what your expectations are as far as their sexual relationships and really letting them know that really only yes means yes. And if they are not consenting, that relationship is not okay and that you want them to feel safe coming to you about it. So that's how it starts off. That's tip number one. And then tip number two is talking about who sexually offends on kids. I mean, for younger children, it's still 90% of the time it is somebody that the child knows. It's people in a position of trust, family members, or even older and other children. And then really when you're getting into teen relationships, the people that they're most at risk to is very often other teens because of this problem that, you know, when you have teenagers and they're really, I always think of it, teenagers are just kind of amateurs at everything. They're not the greatest drivers. They're not good when they're using substances. And when it comes to sex, we're not doing enough to educate them. And so there's a lot of misunderstandings and kids being taken advantage of. And so they're at risk, especially when relationships are involving any kind of substances. So, I mean, I don't know that we necessarily have the time to go through all 10 of them, but that's kind of just like a snapshot of right. what we're looking at. Other things like what are some of the signs and symptoms that your child might be being sexually abused and what you can do to create a safer environment, especially around internet safety and those kind of things are additional tips in the presentation.
Have you noticed any changes in this issue or in the response to this issue since the Me Too movement took off?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And I think that we are getting better about talking about it. And so that's just, it's something that I really believe sexual abuse thrives in silence and in secrecy. And the only way to really make a difference is to report and to talk about it. And so I do feel like, especially when it comes to like teen dating situations, that we are doing a better job of, you know, we're seeing more kids come forward and being willing to talk about it. So I think that we are making progress in that respect.
So you're going to be teaching a class on the 10 tips at in Carbondale on the 14th of January. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So this is at the Carbondale Community School. I am going to be doing 10 tips for them. That is going to be the 10 tips for, you know, elementary age children. So for younger kids. From 5:30 until 7:30 on the 14th. So that's just next week.
And this is a public event?
Yes, it is open to the public and free.
And where can people find more information on that?
On the Riverbridge website.
Okay.
So if you go to riverbridgerc.org, all of our classes are listed there.
Riverbridgerc.org. Well, thank you very much, Megan Hurley, yeah. Backhoffen, mental health therapist at Riverbridge. Really great to spend some time with you talking about this incredibly important issue. She will be speaking Friday at the Human Trafficking Summit in Rifle, and then we'll be in Carbondale on the 14th of January to teach the 10 Tips class. Thank you very much for your work and for taking the time to talk with me today.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, take care. Megan Hurley Backhoffen can be reached at Riverbridge Regional Center at riverbridgerc.org. She will be presenting the 10 tips to prevent teen sexual abuse trauma at Friday's Human Trafficking Summit in Rifle, and will be giving a free class on sexual abuse prevention for children and parents at the Carbondale Community School on January 14th. That event is also open to the public. Thanks for listening to Valley Voices. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.